Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio, a place where like-minded people from across the country come to listen, share, and learn from topics that deal with their health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. You can participate by sharing your comments or questions from the Richer Life blog page or chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife or by using the phone to call in. Let's join the show.
I'm Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb.
And I'm Earl Cobb.
Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio and episode number 6 of the Situations and Leadership broadcast. As you know, this is a special broadcast series which gives all of us an opportunity to spend a few minutes to discuss and learn from a chapter of the new book, Situations and Leadership, Short Stories and Lifelong Lessons.
And for our listeners who have been on some of the prior episodes, you know what I'm going to say now is the goal of this podcast series is to have an entertaining and hopefully insightful discussion about each of the 10 short stories. Each of the short stories were written to unpack some key lessons that all of us can learn and use while addressing challenging personal and professional situations in our life. These lessons can also, we have learned, strengthen our critical thinking and our leadership skills. As with each of our broadcasts in this 10-part series, Charlotte and I have been so honored to have two guest hosts, and tonight is no exception. They both have read the book and are here tonight to share their thoughts on the story and the lessons contained in Chapter 6, titled, I Didn't Expect This. First, I would like to welcome to tonight's show Rodolfo Corello. Rodolfo is the president of SCR Training and Consulting, which is based in San Jose, Costa Rica. SCR helps business executives expand and develop their leadership skills to their fullest. Rodolfo also describes himself as a conscious leadership shaman. Now, for those of us not familiar with shamanism, a shaman is an expert who, in traditional Aboriginal societies, function as a healer, a prophet, and a custodian of cultural tradition. In speaking with Rodolfo, he mentioned that he has been meditating and on a spiritual development path since he was about 7 years of age. Rodolfo has a degree in business administration and marketing from the University of Costa Rica, and earned his MBA with emphasis on family business and entrepreneurship. A few years ago, he developed the SER model for achieving leadership skills. Now, this is a unique model that can help develop deep, sustainable personal and business growth, and he has been extremely successful with it, not only in Costa Rica, but in many locations across the world. Rodolfo has been involved in mentoring transformational leaders in business consulting and training for more than 15 years and has participated as an independent director, and I can't believe this, for more than 25 business boards. His new book was published in February of this year, titled Being, capital B-E-I-N-G, dash I-N-G, Being Leadership. I like that. How to Thrive Using the SER Model. Rodolfo, thanks for joining us from your home in Central America tonight, and welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Hello, Earl and Charlotte. It's a pleasure being here. Well, that's a beautiful introduction. Thank you for that. I'm here connecting from Costa Rica, an amazing country. I know you've been here, but for those of you who haven't, you need to come. It's just we have the perfect climate and jungle and forest, and it's just amazing. Thank you for having me here, and thank you for the book. It's an amazing set of stories and learning experience, so thank you for that.
Very good. And as I mentioned to you earlier offline, when I was vice president of Motorola's Worldwide Radio Systems operation back in the late 1990s, we had several meetings in San Jose. And what a beautiful city, and just filled with beautiful people. And I thoroughly enjoyed every visit. And I definitely can endorse your invitation that if anyone had a chance to go to that part of the world, you will definitely enjoy it. Now, also, let's welcome to episode 6 of Situations and Leadership a dear friend and fellow author, Dr. Susan Cushion. Dr. Cushion has been a practicing general dentist for almost 40 years, with a focus on treating fearful and phobic patients. Susan is a master and emeritus member of the Academy of General Dentistry. She's a fellow of the International College of Dentistry. She's a master practitioner of neurolinguistic programming, and she's a certified clinical hypnotherapist. She has a lifelong record of being a lifelong learner. She seeks to improve her skills and herself in the interest of helping her patients achieve their optimal dental care and improving their self-esteem. Dr. Cushion is the author of 2 published books and numerous articles. Her 2 books titled Fat No More, The Book of Hope for Losing Weight, and Have No Fear of the Dental Chair, has been embraced by practitioners, patients, and readers across the globe. Susan, it's so great to be with you again. Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm just real privileged to be a part of this, and to hear my own background kind of makes me go, wow, I have done a lot. And I will say, you know, I read your book the first time and got a lot from it, but then I read it 3 or 4 more times, and it's not only entertaining, it's quite a lot of good lessons in there, and had me, not only gave me insight, but gave me some real food for thought about some new ideas for me. It was wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, glad to have you both here. Now, hopefully everyone in our listening audience has read the story in Chapter 6 and are ready to help us unpack some of the lessons contained, lessons that can help enhance anyone's leadership and critical thinking skills. But first, let me share a comment from a caller from last week's broadcast that we were not able to get on the air. The comment is from Stacy in Denver, Colorado, and she said, I am currently rereading the book for the second time, and I must say that tonight's discussion of Chapter 5 really drove home some key lessons regarding leadership presence. I look forward to next week's discussion about professional empathy. Well, Stacy, if you're in the listening audience tonight, we apologize for not being able to get you on the air last week. And we, too, are excited about Susan and Rodolfo and having the opportunity tonight to take a look at Chapter 6 and some of the interesting lessons that are there. Charlotte?
Earl, let me also welcome Rodolfo and Susan to the show tonight. And before we start the discussion, we will first take a short break, then play a recorded synopsis of the story from Chapter 6 titled, I Didn't Expect This. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Living a Richer Life, Life-Changing Talk Radio, where like-minded people come to listen, share, and learn. The phone lines are now open. If you wish to join us on the air, you can call 516-418-5769. Again, that's 516-418-5769. Then press 1 on your phone to let us know that you have something to share on the air. Or you can join us on our blog page at blogtalkradio.com/richerlife. Email us at info@richerlifellc.com or send us a tweet at @richerlifetalk. Now here's a synopsis of tonight's story and situation.
Music. I didn't expect this. Rebecca leaves her sales management position with a major wholesale distributor and joins Roland Pharmaceuticals. Roland was a startup company owned by Bob and Jennifer Roland. They were a nice entrepreneurial-minded couple that Rebecca befriended while working on her MBA at Denver College. In short, Rebecca became a Roland Regional Vice President. She and three other regional vice presidents were challenged with the need to achieve their assigned annual sales quotas to help ensure that Roland Pharmaceuticals was in the financial position to successfully execute its plan to go public via IPO the following spring. As fate would have it, all three of Rebecca's top sales representatives are simultaneously beset with health, family, and personal challenges. In the end, the question would become, could Rebecca generate and wrap the proper amount of empathy around this leadership dilemma and achieve her region's sales commitment to Bob and Jennifer?
Wow. And welcome back. Yes, let me remind our callers that if you would like to share your thoughts on the situations found in Chapter 6, or have any comments, please push 1 on your phone. That way we can recognize you, bring you into our screen room, and then bring you into the live discussion. You can also engage with us via our chat room on our blog page. Email us at info@richerlifellc.com or tweet us at @richerlifetalk. Now, Earl will lead our guest panel in a review of the story contained in Chapter 6 of Situations in Leadership and respond to as many of the questions at the end of the chapter as possible, as well as any questions and comments we get from you, our listening audience.
Very good. Now, as you heard in the synopsis of tonight's story, the main character, Rebecca Bushman, finds herself in a very unexpected and challenging situation. So let's begin our discussion tonight on air by asking Rodolfo and Susan to respond to this question. How would you describe Rebecca Bushman's situation based on what you read in the story and why? Susan, you first.
Earl, as you briefly stated, Rebecca got an MBA in business and became a regional vice president of sales for that pharmaceutical company. She was promoted from senior sales rep to the regional vice president of sales. The way I see it, although she had a really good track record for sales, she lacked some of the emotional intelligence needed for the new position. For me, it seemed that her paradigm of reaching the sales goals lack all of the necessary skills to be fully effective in the new leadership role. As we may talk more, I don't think she had the ability to put herself in other people's shoes unless she had been in that particular experience herself.
Very good. Rodolfo, what do you think? How would you describe Rebecca?
Well, you mentioned that she's in an unexpected and challenging situation. I think those are basically understatements, right? I'd say she's in a scary and probably overwhelming situation when she loses three of her top salespeople. And at the same time, I think her, as Susan mentioned, she's a great salesperson. Yet at the same time, it seems like she doesn't have enough leadership experience to be able to deal with the situation in an emotionally intelligent way, and that's what her greatest challenge is not only the situation with the salespeople, but also how to deal with that within her, and then with the rest of the team.
Very good. Now, for those of us who've read the story, you know that there are three sub-protagonists here, right? Four, if you consider Fred Miller, the career coach, okay? You got Shaniqua, you got Santiago, and you have Megan, okay? Now, it's interesting to me that, you know, in the story, when Rebecca joined Roland, she was sales, you know, just like you mentioned, Rodolfo and Susan. And once she got promoted to the sales manager to try to help this company reach this goal, what was obvious to me is that she had been there for a while. Why hadn't she taken the time to get to know her three top salespeople? So, Susan, being a dentist, you've hired a lot of people, I'm sure. You sold two practices. I'm not sure how many you've started. And you've hired a lot of people. You work with a lot of people. Why wouldn't anyone get to know the people that work for them to the degree that Rebecca should have known Shaniqua, Santiago, and Megan? What do you think?
Well, that's a really good question. Let me think here. I'm thinking back to my first practice that having no experience in any business from family or friends when I first started it, I asked people how to interview, and I was given a list of questions and, you know, ways to interview. And if and when I went into those situations just asking the questions and checking it off a list, it was very much methodical. It was like following a checkoff list. When I had my second practice after learning the lessons of the first, I started asking more personal questions, you know, things that were allowed. I didn't ask things that, you know, weren't allowed, but asking them how they would deal with certain situations with patients, asking about their own family, asking about what they liked about dentistry. It was more coming from my own understanding, having been a boss, you know, been a boss before, as to what might be their concerns, what might be those things that, that interest them, so I could get to know them and figure out, would they be a good fit for the office, not just skill-wise in dentistry, but for the kind of personality that would fit the practice that I had of treating fearful people. It definitely takes a certain kind of individual to really be, well, again, empathetic and compassionate and put yourself in a fearful person's place. If you've never been there and you have no fear, sometimes it's very hard for a staff person to understand how traumatic that can be. So I think that would be my answer to that question.
Okay. And Rodolfo, you know, like in most situations, as long as things are going well, you tend to accept them for the way they are, right? I mean, Shaniqua and Santiago and Megan being the top performers in the Denver area, which is where most of Roland's sales were at that time, they had contributed about a third, you know, of the year before, which was a great year. So you sort of get used to people doing that. So as long as things are going well, there's a tendency to not think about what would happen if it wasn't going well and what I would do with that situation. Now, when Shaniqua called and shared with Rebecca her situation, interesting comments that Rebecca shared. You want to share with the audience Rebecca's response when Shaniqua called and told her about her and her husband breaking up, and she had kids who've been sleeping in the car with her, so she needed to take some time off to go and get herself together and get a permanent place for the kids to stay, and so she's going to be away from work for a while. What about Rebecca's response to Shaniqua? Rodolfo.
Yes. I agree with what you were saying about being able to a certain extent hide behind great technical skills as a great salesperson. She's been leading this amazing team to meet the goals, and the need to connect with her people wasn't really substantial. Right. And when Shaniqua comes up and with her personal situation, Rebecca really has no experience dealing, like has no personal experience dealing with what Shaniqua is going through. And obviously has no experience dealing with Shaniqua, right, with her employee dealing with the situation. So her response is really cold and you could see it very objective oriented, which is okay. So take the time you need and just make sure that you don't forget about the job and your objective and come back, right? So it's very again cold and to the point, right? She's focused on results. She's focused on achieving the goals and the objectives, and she doesn't think about the emotional part, the emotional situation that Shanique was going in, and can't even relate to that.
Yep, yep, and neither could she relate to Santiago, who unfortunately was having dinner there and had the stroke, not a serious one, which was a good thing, but he would have to be out for a while. And when Santiago's wife called her, you know, you could sort of sense that that Megan, you know, now you'd think that she'd be somewhat familiar with that, you know, people being ill, but for some reason she was sort of cold toward Santiago's reasoning as well. Why do you think that was the case, Susan?
You know, I think she was totally blindsided. We said a few minutes ago that, you know, things were going well, like you said, Earl. So, you know, why take on new concerns, or why try to change what pattern you're doing? It's obviously working and all is well and making the money. You know, everybody's happy, supposedly. But I think she was so blindsided that she said just kind of the rote answer to Shanique. She just said, you know, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. You know, sort of cold and, but again, not really much thought. It was just like the words came out of her mouth, because she had no idea what else to say. When it happened with Santiago and his medical condition, I got the feeling that she was just very judgmental and very biased. She made a comment that she shouldn't have hired him. He was overweight. Well, she didn't say she shouldn't hire him, but he was overweight, get stressed over things, that she just couldn't get in her own thinking what I call that emotional understanding that, oh, my God, this poor man, you know, the poor family, they depend on him, and he's had a medical issue, and, oh, my gosh, take the time, please call me, I support you in whatever you need to do. That didn't come to her because it was just not in her experience. That's something that, thank goodness, Fred down the road gave her some insight that she was looking for. What was the blind spot? What was she missing? She knew that there was something missing, and thank goodness she got the help. But that's the way I saw it.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, for all of us who read the story, we know how Rebecca responded to Megan, whose mother was suffering from Alzheimer's and was in a home, and unfortunately somehow she left her room or left her location and wandering in the street. So with her being the only child, Megan had to go down and spend some time with her mother to sort of get her resituated. And Rebecca did a 180. It was like, wow, I understand. My mother, and not only that, Rebecca said, take it as much time as you want, and I'll take over your sales territory. Three different people, three different situations that they were in, one situation that Rebecca was in, and that's what Fred Miller, the career coach, had a chance to meet with her and share it with her. And this is where we head into the discussion, like the caller left from last week, about this thing called empathy. Okay? You know, I run into too many people. I have run into too many people over my 30, 40 years of corporate life where when you say empathy, they think sympathy. Right, they think you know, everyone should pull themselves up by the bootstring and not understand the issues associated with being empathetic. Now, in this particular case, I thought there was a unique twist and some other lessons, because people can find ways to be empathetic, that is, putting themselves into others' shoes. But generally what happens is that, and I think you used the word bias, Susan, something happens that prevents them from asking one individual the very same question they'd ask another individual and really anticipate what the answers are going to be. Do you think Fred gave her some good advice, Rodolfo?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Fred was a really powerful guide for Megan in this case because he helped her see herself, right? See the position that she was taking, the disconnection that she was having, the emotional disconnection that she was having to her team, and to her whole team, right? Because she could relate to Megan, but couldn't relate to the other two, and obviously the rest of the team was also going to be stressed because of the situation. So I think he helped her in a great way to see herself, the position that she was taking, and most importantly, to help her transform that position into a more empathetic position where she could recognize what they were going through and could actually provide support. And that's the key to how she turned the situation around with her team and got her team engaged.
Right. Now, Susan, I know in your work and in reading your book, Don't Fear the Dental Chair, that you work with a lot of people that are afraid to get in a dentist chair. What's a story or example that you've had where you sort of had to take some time and become more empathetic and gain some more insight in order to help the patient?
Oh, my goodness, there's so many. I'd like to just make one comment to something you said. You know, you mentioned that sympathy is not empathy. And I think there's a real fine line that a lot of people are not aware of between sympathy and empathy. With sympathy, coming from kind of a pity, you know, feeling bad but not really giving much of yourself, but empathy where you're putting yourself in the person's shoes, and not feeling bad for them, but going, oh, my gosh, what can I do to help them? What can I do to make that give them strength and not consider it a weakness? So I just think that's kind of important for me to bring that up. I also want to make one comment. You know, I really appreciated that Rebecca had the self-awareness that she was missing something and turned to Fred because he modeled the empathy and the kindness, and he listened with his heart. Which is what you're asking me about me, you know, listening with my heart when a patient's there, not judging them. When a patient comes in and they're, you know, they're terrified and they'll, you know, start up tears in their eyes and then tell me that the last dentist told them to stop crying, don't be a baby, or, you know, it's not going to hurt, so just, you know, grin and bear it, or what's wrong with you? You know, for me to just let, I take their hand, or at least I did before COVID, take their hand and, you know, and just listen to them and say, well, what was it like and what can I do to make it easier? And is there anything that I can do to help you through this appointment? Sometimes just saying that and letting a person release their own, you know, intense feelings, just it gives the empathy that comes naturally for me, but it lets them know that not only do I care, but they have a safe place. And I think safety is really important for anybody in any kind of business or any kind of a patient-doctor situation.
Right, right. Now, it was sort of interesting as the story went on when Rebecca actually took Fred's advice to heart and actually started spending time with Shaniqua and Santiago, and she learned some things about them that she had never put into context in terms of their talents and the skills and all the things that they were doing within their life while they were making all their sales goals, okay? And that gave her a totally different perspective of both Shaniqua and Santiago. Now, the interesting thing is, though, you know, the way the mind or the brain works, most of the things that get stuck in the back of our mind or in our brains are things that get there with us without us knowing how they got there. I was just reading this book by Daniel Kokeman, Thinking Fast and Slow, a few years ago, and I didn't believe it, and I compared notes, but it's true that most of the thinking that goes on, the brain does it itself. You don't know what it's thinking. You know, it's storing things back there. So there could have been some experiences in Rebecca's life somewhere that someone like Shanika or someone like Santiago, you know, got stereotyped, if you will, in the back of her mind. So she never thought that she was even thinking that way, or that she wasn't doing the types of things that she needed to do to truly understand why these guys were such good salespeople for me and for Roland. Obviously, they just didn't become good at what they do at 8 o'clock in the morning between 8 and 5. They had to be also good at other things in their life, which gets me to this question. And I'm going to start with Rodolfo. How can being professionally empathetic increase teamwork and decrease conflicts in most situations?
Yeah, that's such a great question. Increase teamwork. Basically, we are tribe beings. We develop in groups, in tribes, in families, in clans. So we are used to, we feel safe when we are connected. And feeling connected, the key word there is feeling, right? It's like the recognition that how we feel and how the other feels. And those emotions, those feelings, help us develop that sense of belonging or connection. As we allow each other to get to know one another and feel together, which doesn't mean like I'm absorbing or assuming your emotions as mine, but just allowing your emotions to be in me, recognizing them and acknowledging them. Now we feel safe. And that feeling of safety creates trust, and that trust facilitates cooperation and eventually teamwork. So empathy is really, really powerful to develop teamwork and and decrease conflicts, because it's also it also allows us to understand, or to better understand, what the other's position is, and why they're holding a certain idea, or holding on to a certain idea, or rejecting a certain situation. We learn to ask questions and to wonder deeper into what's going on within the other person, and that helps us create better understanding and therefore have less conflict.
Very good. Yeah, I agree totally. And Susan, I hear all the time when I try to, you know, make the case, if you will, of why empathy is such a key professional and leadership skill. Okay, and most of the initial feedback I get, and these are from, you know, C-suite, you know, senior people, is they don't want to appear to be weak, you know, and that it's not their role to pry into other people's business. You know, we've got, you know, job descriptions. Here's what I'm paying you to do, and that's what it should be like. Why do you think we as humans find it so difficult to be empathetic?
You know, that's the fine line that I brought up earlier, Earl, where I think in business, at least when I was talking to people in business, trying to figure out how to hire in my first practice, you know, don't get too close to anybody. You know, you're the person in charge. You know, you have to make tough decisions. Don't let your feelings take over. It's really considered a weakness to have any kind of understanding or compassion towards one of your employees, for example. And I think the reality is, which we're learning more and more over time, that the emotional learning that we're having, emotional wisdom, is being sympathetic in a genuine manner that actually is a strength. It allows people, as Rodolfo said so well, you know, to feel safe, to feel like you care. I know that if I'm in a situation when I'm being cared about, whatever environment I'm in as a volunteer or a job, I work more effectively. It's kind of like that strength in numbers. I feel closer to the other staff people I work with because I feel cared about myself, and I want to put out more caring to them. I think that we also heard in this and learned that the team can be more energized and be more productive and also more successful because of empathy, when it's genuine, because people like not only feel safe, but they want to work together even better to, quote unquote, prove, you know, that they're able to do the job. But I also think that other skills come out when you're caring about people and really having empathy towards the team. There are skills that maybe aren't even noticed originally, but all of a sudden, you know, we start to go, I've noticed, oh, I didn't know this particular person was good at that, because that person felt comfortable enough with me to start sharing that gift instead of being afraid of how I would judge them on it.
Very good. I agree totally. And one of the key pieces I'm sure that all of us realize is in order to be empathetic, you've got to learn how to listen, you know, because the way the mind works, the mind is there to protect us. And that's why I find empathy is one of the most difficult skills to really learn, because just the way our mind works is we're constantly thinking about defending what is our position, or defending what is our perspective, defending and not stopping and letting in. We're thinking about protecting ourselves. And if you don't understand that and find a way and some techniques to really develop that skill to say, and Rebecca did it, right? She said, I haven't never been here before, but I'm going to try this. And that's why at the end of the story, for those of us who've gotten that far, okay, she moved from crying tears driving in that morning until the end of the day when Shaniqua and Santiago and Megan came through. And at the end of the day, they met their goal, of course. And she sat there. And if you wonder where the title came from, she just sat there and said, I didn't expect this. And that's what I find from most of the clients that I work with in this area, is that once they learn that skill and once they start deploying that skill, most of them will tell you, I didn't think this is what I would get all of this from being able to be truly and authentically empathetic. You know, I just noticed that we're getting close to the end of our show here. Got about 6 minutes left. So let's do this. Let's ask Rodolfo and Susan to leave us with some final words on this topic, and how this topic, not only in terms of relating to professional, but also personal in life, in terms of the lessons that we learn in the story from Rebecca and the rest of the characters. Susan, why don't you go first?
Earl, I just want to ditto what you said a moment ago, that the skill of learning to listen, not hearing, but listening, is so key. I do some counseling, and I find that when I listen to people's problems or whatever they're going through, that so often they want to jump in with all the stuff they're already thinking because they haven't heard a word that I said, because they're already trying to get back the answer. And I'm seeing, you know, from what you were just saying again, that when we learn to listen without any judgment or bias and just be there, you know, with our heart and soul to listen to that person, not only do we gain a lot of insight, but we have a great connection with that person that will help in any field we're in, whether it's business or patient care or friendship. So I'd like to leave with that, knowing that my suggestion when we start to talk about this is empathy does come from less judgment and coming from the heart to just really be present with that person.
Very good. And Rodolfo, I know that in your practice and your work there in San Jose and at the levels that you work, you have seen a lot of this, and you have had to to share a lot of your insight to your clients in this area. So why don't you leave us a few thoughts on the relevance of this topic in life in general?
Yes, thank you, Earl. This is key. One of the things that I, one of the three pillars that are part of the SER model, or the SER model, are the first one is interdependence, understanding that we're all in this together. And as the story shows, right, Rebecca was going to be unable to meet the sales quota or goal on her own. She needed her team, right? It wasn't, and she didn't need one or two. Like, she needed her whole team to step up. And that's the recognition of interdependence. And once we recognize that we are all in this together, like all of humanity connected with all of nature, we want to develop empathy, but more than empathy, which is the understanding of the other person's or the other being's position, we want to develop compassion, which is, I also want to do something to provide a greater well-being to others around me and myself. Right? So interdependence, we want it to lead to compassion, and because those two together lead to thriving, which I love the story because that's what we see, right? When Rebecca develops empathy, connects to her whole team, not only the three that are experiencing the difficult situations, but she connects to the whole team, the rest of the team steps up. And when the three that are dealing with the difficult situations come back, they also step up and they all thrive together. And I think that's a life lesson for all of us. Like, we need to connect more. We need to cooperate more to help each other more. And for that, we need the understanding that we're all in this together, and compassion can lead us, empathy and compassion can lead us to that.
Words that I definitely feel fit the times for the entire world. And unfortunately, those will have to be the last words. I'm afraid we are out of time for tonight's show.
I really thank you so much. Thank our guest panelists, Rodolfo Carrillo and Dr. Susan Cushing, for what was a great, insightful show tonight. Yes, they both were terrific, Earl, and we appreciate you joining us tonight. Because we're running out of time, I just want to remind everyone to join us for our next live broadcast Thursday night, June 10th at 8 p.m. right here at blogtalkradio.com. We will be looking at episode number 7 as we explore chapter 7 of the book Situations in Leadership and discuss the challenges that Celestina Rodriguez faced as she navigated her way to reaching one of her life goals and learned that success really happens when you leave the room. So if you haven't done so, please get a copy of the book and read it along with us.
And normally at this point, I say, click the red follow button in the left corner. But I want to say, find somebody, be empathetic. As Rodolfo said, be compassionate, you know, and just see how far that will take you regardless of what your goal is.
Thanks again for joining us. Be safe, and remember to live your richest life.
You've been listening to Living a Richer Life with Earl and Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back again at the same time next Thursday.
Thanks, Ronaldo. Thanks, Susan. You guys did great.
Wonderful.
You're welcome. It was lovely. Thank you.
Yes, it was great. Thank you for having us, and had a lot of fun.